From the WSBT studios, it is the Roster Doctors. I am Jim Irizarry, and it's the season!
Yes, indeed. I am Craig the Bartender Williams, and this is our season kickoff show. This is the one where we kind of look at the waiver wire. We know that most of you guys are already drafted, and now we're just trying to see.
Most of us.
Well, yeah, there are some leagues still out there, still drafting, and you can listen to some of our past podcasts to get caught up on that, but this one is the one where we're going to help you clean up your roster. If you have deficiencies or whatever, we help you with some waiver wire stuff, some of the up-to-date NFL player stuff to get you ready for Thursday night and for this coming Sunday when it kicks off. And, of course, we have to bring in a third member of this here team of the Roster Doctors. He is the one, the only, Tony, the Godfather Cotillo. You can find him on Twitter at TCotillo23 out there in Philly. It's our brother, the Godfather. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much, man. How you guys doing? You ready for Thursday?
Oh, man.
I really am.
Me too.
Like, I've been missing it a little bit. I'm just kind of counting down now.
Here's an interesting thing, Tony, because he's actually doing something. He's actually doing an open book test.
This may sound familiar, by the way.
Yes. He's actually drafting here in SBT Studios while we're doing this here show.
That's right.
So if you hear some frustration
there's going to be some real-time reaction going on. It's the SBT league as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's the league that they have here in the office.
It's the in-house league.
And I'm picking.
You have to represent.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, duh. The fantasy football guys got to show up for this, right?
Of course. These are the brains of the operation. They're the Notre Dame guys, you know, the pre and post game show guys. They're all in this thing. So this is big to bear. We got to represent. This is our first show.
Yeah.
Here in SBT Studios. We got to make it happen and still talk to everybody else, let them know what's going on as we get ready for the season.
And I'm picking 11th.
So you got some time for your first pick.
Ooh. Yeah, that's ooh.
Yeah.
Out of 12?
Out of, I think, 14, actually.
Mm.
Oh,
that's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big league.
You may need Tony's help or my help when you get into later rounds. Yeah. But we still keep this show going as well. As you mentioned, most people have already drafted, and so this is kind of, we're going to try to get you caught up with some of the guys that you should be looking for on waiver wire stuff. Also, let's start with some roster cutdown news. Now, the NFL teams had to get down to their 53-man roster by 4 o'clock back on Saturday. You guys saw some big names get cut. None bigger than LeSean McCoy. A little bit of surprise there. Got cut by the Bills and then signed by the Chiefs, which really makes a murky situation in KC. I mean, Damian Williams was there, and now you add LeSean McCoy into this mix. I mean,
is he hoping that Andy Reid kind of hooks him up to the Fountain of Youth or something?
Yeah, because he knows the offense really well. He ended up being the Eagles' all-time leading rusher.
Yeah.
And thanks in part to being the Andy Reid offense. But, I mean, Tony, you're familiar with this situation, being an Eagles fan and being out there. I mean, what do you expect in KC with LeSean McCoy back reunited with Andy Reid right before the season starts?
I'm telling you, that is a match made in heaven. It really is. I mean, Andy loves LeSean. LeSean loves Andy, obviously, with his years in Philly. You look at the way that dynamic offense already was before LeSean McCoy got there. And think about the owners who drafted Damian Williams already to think that he's going to be the incumbent number one. Guess what? You are sadly mistaken now, because I can guarantee you he will be the number two, and LeSean is going to be the number one. Andy loves everything he does, and I honestly don't think, if you look at the contract, they brought him in, they gave him a guaranteed $4 million, okay, and they also have some incentives too. So Andy's not messing around. Andy's bringing this guy in to be the number one running back.
The kind of deal that Adrian Peterson would kill for right now.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson has a head coach that wanted to cut him, by the way.
Yeah,
you guys been paying attention to what happened, what's come out over the past day or so.
Yeah, Darius Geis getting the starting nod.
Yeah, and the other Gruden, Jay Gruden, basically saying that, well, he didn't say it in so many words, but it's leaking out that he wanted to cut him, and the owners didn't let him cut Adrian Peterson.
Daniel Snyder.
Oh, I'm not surprised. That organization is a complete mess.
It has been because, yeah, Snyder likes playing fantasy football, but he's doing it with real money. He's been doing it for about 20 years now, and that's why they haven't had the greatest amount of success.
Doing it so badly.
Yeah.
No, it's been so terrible.
Hey, this is another thing that you actually had talked about too, Tony. The Eagles made a couple cuts to kind of make us – well, it goes back to what you're saying about Miles Sanders. They cut Josh Adams, former Notre Dame product, and Wendell Smallwood. Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard are there, and like you said, Miles Sanders looked the best in camp.
Yeah, he really did. He looked explosive, and the biggest thing that we were worried about as number one as Philadelphia Eagles fans and what the coaches were worried about was the pass protection, because obviously when you have a rookie that comes in, the biggest thing they have to worry about is protecting the quarterback, and we know how the injury history of Carson Wentz. So they weren't going to put a rookie in there that wasn't going to understand how to pick up the blitz.
Right.
Well, fortunately for them, he learned very fast and looked really good doing it. And he looked explosive out of the backfield, like I said earlier. So those two, that one-on-one combo, I mean, I'll be shocked if he's not getting the lion's share of the carries, at least by week 4 or 5.
Let's look back on the situation now that McCoy is gone with the from the Buffalo Bills. Here's another rookie, Devin Singletary. It looks like he's going to get the lion's share because all he's got behind him is, well, TJ Yeldon and the old man, Frank Gore, at 36.
I disagree. I think Frank Gore is the number one guy out there.
Really?
I think Singletary's the number three. And if anybody understands David Singletary, you look at his 40 time. I think he was slower than Eddie Lacy, which is pretty impossible to do. His 40 time was very, very suspect at best. So he's more of a power runner. And I think that, listen, LeSean was a high price tag. They decided to go in another direction. And don't sleep on T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah.
As a fantasy back, he can't catch the ball. He's going to be more than a third down back out there. And Josh Allen, he runs the ball with ease, with consistency, which is going to bring those linebackers back, have a spy on him, which is going to open up the outside. So I think T.J. Yeldon is going to do big things at Buffalo.
Because he's a big, strong back. He's 6'1", 6'2". I thought when he came out of Alabama, he'd be much further along in the process than he actually did. He had some decent years at Jacksonville, but he still has some fresh legs.
Yeah, he really does. He was never taken to his full capabilities out there in Jacksonville. I mean, obviously, Leonard Fournette, but, you know, Leonard Fournette could never stay healthy. So, you know, he was pressing a duty here and there, but you never got to see him, and I think McDermott's going to use him that way.
A 40 slower than Eddie Lacy? Your refrigerator runs faster than Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy.
Exactly. I'm not exaggerating. Look it up, man. My man is
crazy. That's crazy.
He is not fast at all.
Man.
The Ezekiel Elliott situation, well, we keep waiting for the announcement that the contract is actually signed and everything. He is back from Cabo and in Dallas, but this thing still hasn't been worked out yet. And now you look at the situation. How many carries does this guy get in week one if he does indeed sign? Or do you just hold him out if you're Dallas and just go with the kid, Tony Pollard, at least for week one, and not even worry about it? Do you get Ezekiel in-house where you can see what he can do and how much of the load he can carry until possibly week two?
Yeah, I'm going to still stick by my week four prediction. I really am. I don't think it gets done right now. I think, you know, they're working towards a deal, and I think by the time they work towards a deal, we'll already be kicking off in week one, and I think that'll take us to week two. I think, you know, obviously he was in Cabo, not like he was out there working out, so to speak. So he's going to have to get himself into game shape, and I still think week three at the earliest, you really see Zeke. I really do. I still think week four, but maybe week three.
So even if Zeke signs, for you, he's a sit. Because obviously he got drafted.
Yes, probably this week. I mean, obviously you'll follow. You'll follow the in game. In Dallas, and you'll figure out the injury reports. You'll see what my man Carrot Top out there can basically any information he can give us.
Right.
But I still think it'll be week four.
I just checked the Eagles schedule just to see. Is Tony hoping that he's not available until week four? And no, he's just giving an opinion.
No doubt.
No. Just give an opinion.
Well, let's look at this Tony Pollard kid for a second. I mean, they've really been talking him up all during camp. Do you take a flyer and maybe start this guy? Because you got that offensive line, and you know that, I mean, like Lyle Collins got fresh paper, so their offensive line is going to be there and intact for a long time. But week one, this is a game that I'm sure they want to get, and if Tony Pollard's going to be the guy for the next couple of weeks, they're going to try to get him probably 20, 25 touches.
I think he's a must start. If Zeke's out there, he's a must start week one. They're playing the Giants. The Giants stink. And they're playing home, right? They're playing home against the Giants, who have nobody to stop a running game out there in New York. So I think any running back that's in that backfield with that offensive line against that putrid defensive line out there in New York, I think you start them and you're going to get decent points.
The Giants are going to make a lot of running backs look good this year, FYI.
Yes, they
FYI.
Are.
Hopefully maybe one of their own one day.
Maybe.
One day.
Maybe.
Saquon Barkley better have some big days.
Right.
Because he was the number two pick in a lot of drafts.
I think he got burned out at the end of the year last year, quite honestly.
Well, yeah, that's the rookie. Look, I still take his burnout days.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Especially when you look forward to the Chargers and Melvin Gordon still. Well, now he's been allowed to seek a trade. Good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
But if you're looking at week one and you did pick up one of his backups, what do you think about this Austin Ekeler kid? I mean, he did average 4 yards a carry behind that offensive line that was ranked in the top 10 last year. Is he a start week one?
You know, I think he's a tweener kind of guy. It really is, because you don't know. Is it going to be Justin Jackson? Is it going to be, Ezekiel? It's like Ekeler, Jackson, maybe 20 carries one, 12 carries another, or it could go, 14 carries one, 10 carries another, and Phil Rivers throws 45 times. So it's so up in the air right now, but the Colts have a really good defense. That's another thing. The Darius Leonard in the middle is a stud, and they showed they were the ability to stop the run last year. So I think maybe as a running back three, but yeah. I think that's the most maybe that you can get out of Austin Ekeler or Justin Jackson in week one.
We need to shift. We're going to talk a little bit about the waiver wires, because we know that as you got your grades after the draft was over, you know what your weaknesses are as far as your roster. We're going to go through some guys here a little bit in depth as far as guys you can pick up. Maybe you're just streaming just for week one and you need a guy just because you don't like the matchup with a starting quarterback you have or running back or whatever. We're going to go through some of these guys because you should feel good about your draft, you think.
We need to activate our waiver wire, though, now.
Oh, man.
Our new and improved actually got a budget to do this now. So here we go.
What year was that?
That was Windows 95.
Okay. I remember it. It was bad. It was slow, as could be. But you should feel good about your lineup. But there are some weaknesses. Everybody's got weaknesses, unless you're in like a four-team league with your grandma still running non-PPR. But let's run through
dinosaur league.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's run through some quarterbacks real quick. For week one matchups in particular, Sam Darnold, owned in 43% of CBS leagues, week one against the Bills could end up being a steal if you're streaming quarterbacks right now to start the season. This is a nice matchup for Darnold headed into week one.
I like this matchup a lot. I really do. And I think Darnold's really going to come into his own this year. Obviously, he gets to lean on Le'Veon Bell. You know, he has Adam Gase out there this year calling the offensive plays. So I think this is a big game for the Jets to show what they do, and they're home. And against the Bills, who do have a decent defense. But this says everything about one of those games where you have two teams that probably aren't going to compete for anything much, like when we're talking about the playoffs, and they're just going to beat each other to death, back and forth. It's probably going to be like a 35-27 game. A lot of fantasy production. Mm-hmm. I think Darnold's going to play pretty well.
We're going to flip over to the other side of this matchup as well. Look at Josh Allen. If you're looking for a guy, maybe, he's on a lot of waiver wires, but if he's on yours, look at his matchups the first 3 weeks. Week one against the Jets, we just mentioned that. Also, week two against the Giants and Jim's team, and week three against the Bengals. He does have some new weapons, and John Brown, who has some speed, and Cole Beasley, who catches a lot of balls, or did at least in Dallas. He's gonna love those. He's gonna love the new guys because he hated the old guys.
Yeah, ooh. Couldn't get rid of the old guys fast enough.
But Jim, is that a guy? I mean, if you look in the stream, if you look at his matchups the first 3 weeks, you can't get much better for you for a second year player like Allen.
I mean, that's almost being served like a ton of points on a platter right there.
No doubt.
With that skip. What was the week one?
Week one is Jets.
The Jets.
Giants.
Giants, and then the Bengals.
Yes.
Woof.
And he's out there in your waiver wire.
Yeah. Hell, put the claim on him.
No doubt. Matt Stafford's another one, week one against the Cardinals. Cardinals without Patrick Peterson, by the way, who's suspended for the first four games of the season. This could be another nice one. But don't trust Matt Stafford longer than week one. He will help you tank your team. He's not a reliable guy, but this is a favorable start for Matt Stafford, you'd think.
Matt Stafford is going to be making a lot of throws because he's going to be playing from behind.
Yeah.
We've already established this much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those throws are not going to be accurate either.
Yeah.
So it's only going to hurt you.
He does have Kenny Golladay.
He does have Kenny Golladay. That's fine. But
and he's got Marvin Jones. We'll talk about Marvin Jones in a little bit too.
Yeah, if Marvin can stay healthy this year,
that's been his whole career.
Yeah, I know. So
and then there's the man that will never have to buy another Philly steak sandwich ever in Philadelphia, Nick Foles. Week one against KC. We saw enough of KC's defense last year. I know they have revamped it, but they couldn't stop anybody. Last season, luckily they had Patrick Mahomes putting up an incredible amount of points. But Nick Foles, week one versus KC, Godfather, how you like this matchup?
I'll tell you what, this is going to be interesting because you know you have the Andy Reid, Nick Foles. Even though Andy Reid wasn't there, but you still have the Philly nostalgia factor for both guys, former Eagles. But you know, you mentioned the Chiefs revamping their defense. They did some odd things in the offseason. And they traded away Dee Ford, who was probably their most explosive pass rusher, which I still don't understand that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust. But this is all about Nick Foles. We know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. We know what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do. But this is about what is Nick Foles going to be? Is it going to be Nick Foles that went – you know, went into Oakland and threw seven touchdowns, or is it going to be the Nick Foles who threw up an egg in St. Louis under Jeff Fisher? So we'll see what happens. I'm going to kind of say maybe in between, and I wouldn't start Nick Foles in week one. I would wait to see what we actually could see out of him before I feel comfortable as a starting quarterback.
So I'm going to let you guys in on a running back pick here.
Okay.
All right. I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, James Conner, Nick Chubb. Or Dalvin Cook.
You know my love for Chubb.
Second round, though.
Wow,
that's
in number 11.
Oh,
yeah, I'm on the snake back.
It's Mixon or Connor.
Okay,
it's Mixon or Connor. I'm not sure.
I take Connor just because I just like Connor. I wrote him last year. I wrote him hard.
I like the Pittsburgh line a lot better than Cincinnati's line.
Yeah, then run with that.
Yeah, and they lost their left tackle, too, in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they did.
So they're already down one of their guys.
This is the Roster Doctors. Yes, you can find us. This is on Twitter at RosterDocsWSBT. We are getting you ready for the season, looking at some waiver wire guys that could be out there that could help you. Week one, week two in particular is what we're looking at. I mean, we'll be doing this throughout the entire season. But running backs, as we have already talked about the running backs that he's looking at and that he's drafting right now. Justin Jackson, we mentioned.
Somebody just drafted the Bears defense in the second round.
Oh, my goodness. Turn that thing off. It's over. You won. You won the league. Congratulations. Justin Jackson owned 61% of the CBS leagues. He will share carries with Austin Eckler, but he could be a nice flex option. I mean, if you look into week one, week two, somebody's going to get, and I think it's going to be Jackson, probably getting 40% of the carries that would be exclusively Melvin Gordon's. And you have to think that Justin Jackson will be that guy that will be getting at least 30-40% of the touches that are divvied up now that Gordon's on the outs apparently right now with the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, when Jackson played last year, he played pretty well. I mean, when everybody thought Austin Eckler was going to be the guy, it actually turned out to be Justin Jackson to be the guy. So it all depends on what you have on your roster.
Right.
It really does. It all depends on, listen, who are you starting? Who are your two running backs? Who are some leagues? Who is your three running backs? I mean, if you don't have anybody that's better than a Justin Jackson or Austin Eckler, obviously they're going to get – they're at least going to split carries. You know they're going to get some production. Mm-hmm. Just not sure which guy's going to get the most. Then you take a shot.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's another guy that went from complete almost irrelevance back to being very relevant after Saturday, and that's Carlos Hyde. He is down in Texas now. He's going to be the backup to Duke Johnson to start the season. But they're week one in New Orleans. I mean, just getting to Texas over the weekend. We'll play behind Duke Johnson. But we know the one thing that Carlos Hyde can do is he finds the end zone. I think he has 29 touchdowns in 43 career games.
Yeah, even on teams that didn't score a whole lot, Carlos Hyde was somehow scoring a lot.
Yeah, but you can't trust. To this point of his career, as a fantasy perspective, you have not been able to trust Carlos Hyde.
No.
Not at all.
No.
But you also
I rode that roller coaster for a couple weeks.
You look at what the Texans made a lot of moves over the weekend, but none bigger than the trade that they made. They picked up Tunsil and Kenny Stills. Tunsil is shoring up that whole backside for Watson for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah,
and then you got a power back in Carlos Hyde. If he can stay healthy, that could be really dangerous, really dangerous, and really good for you guys because he is a touchdown guy close to the end zone. Now, of course, this is where the Godfather will tell me that touchdowns are a luxury. But this is worth it. He's available in 44% of the leagues right now. I mean, do you take a chance and stash Carlos Hyde?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you figure right now they're rolling with Duke Johnson, right? So, and Duke Johnson's never shown to be a number one running back
no.
in his career as well. So I think they basically got, another guy who says, okay, if this guy can stay healthy, we can split the carries, maybe 60-40. You have Duke Johnson in his normal role as a pass-catching back. You have Carlos Hyde running through the numbers north and south. So I think it's a perfect fit as long as Carlos Hyde can be healthy. So, yes, if he's sitting there on your waiver wire, he's a guy you should scoop up because he's a guy that could eventually be the number one running back on a team that has Deshaun Watson and has DeAndre Hopkins and is going to score a ton of points in a red zone. So he will definitely be a valuable commodity.
Plus, that Kenny Stills pickup is, I think, underrated too because there's a number two to go side DeAndre Hopkins finally.
Yeah, yeah.
A healthy number two.
Yeah, and Will Fuller, when he goes out, it's not a matter of if or when. Yeah. They have a solid slot receiver, one of the best to do it. So that'll be really interesting. Now, this is a good kid we haven't talked about at all on this show. But he's out there on a lot of waiver wires, and that's Kalen Ballage from Miami. Kenyon Drake is not a guy you could ever trust in fantasy.
Mm-mm.
And this Ballage kid is a natural athlete, not great at any one particular thing, but when you really have no clue what they're going to do on offense in Miami, this kid could be their answer, at least in the short term, and your answer, fantasy, if you need somebody to pick up that could get you some points throughout the season. He's available in a lot of leagues right now. And again, not necessarily a great runner, not a great pass catcher, but they need somebody, and you can't rely on Kenyon Drake.
I actually like Kenyon Drake.
Really?
Yes, I do. I really do. I honestly think he just never took the opportunity and rolled with it. If you think of the running backs they had while he was there, he was given a little bit of an opportunity last year. Not ton, a little bit. But listen, Frank Gore just decided to be, a Superman, which nobody expected, right? So I think at the end of the day, this is a new offensive system. Obviously it's not Josh Rosen and Fitzmagic, and you have, who knows, does Devontae Parker finally show up and be a wide receiver? Who knows? But there's nothing else out there. And I think Drake, he can catch the ball. He can run through the numbers. He can do swing passes. He can run east to west. I think he's very talented. And I think he just needs a shot. So for my money, if you're asking me Drake or Ballage, I'm going Drake all day.
another guy that hurt you if you drafted him in the fifth, sixth round last year in your drafts. Well, his head is popping up again. Deion Lewis, you got hurt. He hurt your feelings last year if you drafted him early to be RB2.
He made you cry.
He did make you cry. But here's the situation again. Derrick Henry's a little banged up. Lewis was a disappointment last year. However, he catches the ball at the backfield. He's an efficient runner. And, oh, by the way, his contract year for Marcus Mariota. And they got to get this offense on track early on. Deion Lewis is a guy that, you know, he could. He could be that waiver wire steal because he definitely was a fifth, sixth round bust last year for a lot of players.
I say pick him up immediately because let's look at their head coach.
Yeah.
Let's look at Mike Vrabel, who's a disciple of Bill Belichick. And look what Bill Belichick has done with guys like James White. And I think James White is the same kind of similar back like a Deion Lewis. And I think this year the offense changes a little bit. They get Corey Davis involved. They pick up a guy, Adam Humphries, who's a guy who could catch a ball across the middle like a Wes Welker.
Right.
And now they put Deion Lewis in. They get three pieces that could do multiple things, and they get Delanie Walker back. Okay, so Delanie Walker can not only block,
mm-hmm.
but he can hit the seam, and he can catch 90 balls. So I think that's going to be an explosive offense built around a guy like Deion Lewis because I just don't think Derrick Henry will be able to stay healthy enough to last the whole year. So I think Deion Lewis is a sneaky but excellent waiver wire pickup right now.
The Tampa Bay situation, we've seen these players play for Tampa for a couple of years. But the dynamic, and we keep talking about in this show, is that Bruce Arians knows offense. He has picked up his system and placed it in several different places, and they've been productive players.
He also knows Kangol hats.
He does. He actually, he must have stock in Kangol.
He's got to.
He and LL.
The walking advertisements.
But here's two guys that are going to be out there, your waiver wire, Peyton Barber, Derry Ogunyuale, both running backs. Yeah, someone's going to produce, and it's not going to be Ronald Jones. I cannot trust Ronald Jones the third. I can.
No.
It's
tough. He had the opportunity, and Peyton Barber had an opportunity last year. Now, obviously, this was a different offensive scheme.
Right.
It was a different coaching staff. But I'm throwing this prediction out there. I'm telling you, I'm throwing this sleeper.
Uh-oh.
Out there.
Here it is. Exclusive.
The start running back by week four will be Melvin Gordon in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Really?
Wow. I still think Melvin Gordon is the guy that Bruce Arians wants, is the guy he needs, and I think it's a match made in heaven, and I think it happens.
I've been
saying it for a month now. I think that's where he winds up. Until then, we'll see what happens.
Given that the Buccaneers haven't had a good running back since...
Yeah.
Mike Allstott?
Michael Pittman for a half a year.
Michael Pittman for a half a year, yeah. That magical half year.
One more running back I want to talk about because, again, he's not a name that we've mentioned on the show, but he's starting to get some pub, and it's Justice Hill. Explosive back, could be a good compliment to Mark Ingram. They're comparing him. Now, slow down now. I'm not ready to compare him to Alvin Kamara. But as far as a tandem where Mark Ingram does similar to what he did when he was in New Orleans along with Alvin Kamara, Justice Hill could be a nice pickup at some point through the season, maybe even early on if you need a flex player or you need a guy to get you some PPR points throughout the season.
I'll tell you, Justice Hill has been my favorite sleeper running back.
Really?
The entire draft this year. Yes, I still think Lamar Jackson could be this year's Patrick Mahomes, and I think everybody's sleeping on him. And I think Justice Hill, you got to remember, they have Mark Ingram and they have Gus Edwards, two guys do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Justice Hill does everything else, does everything that embodies offense in a hardball system. So I really think this kid is such a sleeper that he is going to be a dynamic running back. Just like you said, in Alvin Kamara, you think about all the offensive sets they're going to run at there in Baltimore. They rushed the ball for 547 times last year.
Wow.
Some of those carries are going to go to Justice Hill.
Yes, they will.
I think he's going to show what he can do, and I think they're going to wind up sticking with him. He's going to put up big numbers.
You think Lamar Jackson is going to be improved as a passer to be the next Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. I don't mean he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to have a Patrick Mahomes-type season. I think it's going to be that electric. I do. They worked with him all offseason with his mechanics. They worked with him with a dipping throw in motion. They built that offense around him more than they did last year. So I think he's really going to be comfortable, and I think he can put up stellar numbers this year. He's not going to have 50 touchdowns, but he can rush for 15 touchdowns and throw 25 to 30 touchdowns. And there you go, here's a combined 50. So I think he could have that kind of year out there in Baltimore.
I just think back to, the graphic on CBS during the playoff game against the Chargers. First attempt at a pass in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like,
poor intern had to actually keep track of that too.
Right. You know what? That was the easiest stat to keep track of too.
No doubt. This is the Roster Doctors. You can listen to us. Well, you are listening to us right now if you're hearing his voice. Jim, myself, and of course, Tony, the Godfather Cotillo. You can find Tony, of course, at TCotillo23 on Twitter. Let's switch to wide receivers, guys, as we're talking waiver wire, getting you ready for the big kickoff on Thursday. And these two guys, we mentioned them a little bit earlier, but they're on the same team. But they do two totally different things, but they could be big for you as far as waiver wire pickups throughout the season, especially maybe early on if you're looking for wide receivers to help get you some points. John Brown and Cole Beasley. John Brown can fly.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Beasley catches a lot of balls.
Everything.
Being a slot receiver.
He is fearless, too.
Josh Allen will love them both throughout the season. Brown for the yards and touchdowns. So he's probably going to lead the Bills if he can stay healthy in both of those. Beasley for PPR. And, oh, by the way, week one, as we mentioned earlier, Buffalo is probably going to be in a shootout against the Jets.
Cole Beasley.
That is
Cole
a
Beasley
delicious
gonna
matchup.
Cole Beasley's going to be a PPR monster.
Yeah.
He's going to be a PPR monster. He really is.
Love Cole Beasley.
Obviously, he's in a perfect situation, especially, you have a home run threat in John Brown.
Yep.
You have a big wide receiver in Zay Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So Cole Beasley's going to be loving that middle all day long, and I think he's going to be the safety valve for Josh Allen. So I think he's going to do big things out there in Buffalo.
Another guy to look at because he we've waiting for him to kind of bust out. He's had some good games, but that's Michael Gallup. Still the number two down in Dallas. He's lining up opposite Amari Cooper. And Amari's going to, just based off what he did when he got to Dallas last year, is going to command a double team, which means that Michael Gallup, which is a nice-sized wide receiver, is going to get some one-on-one coverage. And he doesn't have anybody chasing him down where he was a number three or number four like the last couple of years. He's a clear-cut number two going into the season. And, oh, by the way, he gets to face the Giants in week one. Sorry, Jim.
I get it. I totally get it. I'm not offended at all. Hell, I'm leading that charge, too. So... Get the Giants off of national television, for God's sake.
It's a favorable matchup. And again, Michael Gallup being the number two in that offense, and they bring back the old man tight end because, well.
Why not?
We couldn't take him back. We couldn't take him back.
ESPN said,
No. So Michael Gallup, a guy that you could be looking at as a streamer, or if you need to get a wide receiver for your bench. Geronimo Allison is another guy because, well. We know that Aaron Rodgers loves one thing. He loves to throw to slot receivers a lot.
If Aaron Rodgers could have nothing but slot receivers,
yes,
he would be a happy, happy man.
And while the talk has been about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's an outside guy. Geronimo Allison is a slot. And as we mentioned, Rodgers loves his slot guys. Just keep an eye out for Geronimo Allison head into the season.
Plus, great name.
Yes.
Just a fantastic name. Come on.
We're going back to Miami for a minute.
That's the most scientific reason I've ever given for putting a guy on your team.
I want to talk about this guy. We haven't mentioned him yet this season because he did have Kenny Stills is a clear-cut number one there, but now Kenny Stills is no longer in Miami, being shipped off to Texas, and that's Albert Wilson. Wake me up when Davante Adams lives up to the hype. Wilson is the best receiver on the Dolphins right now. He also was eighth in fantasy points per target last year with 2.16 points per target. He was eighth in fantasy, and you don't even know who the kid is.
Plus, I think he's the only receiver on the Dolphins right now. Right?
And I don't think there's really anybody else, but they're bringing, maybe they'll bring Anthony Pisano out of retirement.
Yay! Hey, there we go.
That's a Notre Dame
there. Well done.
There you go.
Well, Tony, what do you think about Albert Wilson?
I like Wilson because he's a scat kind of receiver. He's a guy that can do it all. I mean, obviously, they'll use him on special teams to return kicks, but. You know, he's a guy who can go across the middle. He's a guy that can do a reverse. He can even do a trick play here or there, or he can go long. So, obviously, Miami stinks, and they're going to be playing from behind, and they're going to have to make somebody catch the ball out there. And now that Kenny Stills is gone, you mentioned Devontae Parker has been like, you know, who is he? Will he ever show up? Will he ever stay healthy? Why not take a flyer at Albert Wilson?
Devontae Parker looked like Tarzan, play like Jane. I mean, but when he came out of Louisville, you thought he was going to be the real deal, and he got hurt right away. Basically, was ineffective the entire season. And just now we're four years into this. We know what we're getting from Devontae Parker, and it's not that much.
Yeah, it's really not.
Another kid that I actually love. He's on my favorite team, the Chicago Bears, is Anthony Miller. He had the best hands in the 2018 draft, and when the Bears finally got him on the field, they couldn't get him off the field because he was catching everything. He got hurt late in the season, but he's the clear-cut number two receiver in the Chicago offense. And, of course, week one, they faced the Packers. Anthony Miller, who did have some surgery right before training camp to kind of clean up his shoulder a little bit. Anthony Miller, healthy, is going to make some spectacular catches, one-hand catches, everything. The kid is a highlight reel waiting to happen. I can tell you that Anthony Miller's the guy. Just keep an eye out on him.
This is going to be a breakout year, I think, for Anthony Miller.
If he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because the problem is he dies for everything.
He really does. like head first
you
going
to save,
in.
You have to save Anthony Miller from himself.
Yeah, you've like hopefully the coaching staff in Chicago was like, okay, you don't have to go for everything. Okay, yeah, there are just some things that are not going to be catchable by design. Okay, don't dive for everything. Yeah. Please, we need you all year.
A few more guys to talk about. Tyrell Williams from the Raiders. Gruden wants to have more explosive plays. Of course, they have Antonio Brown on the opposite side. Tyrell Williams is a big guy, 6'3", 6'4". He can catch it. He can run down the field. And again, he's playing opposite Antonio Brown. He's going to get some single coverage. And he's a big receiver that can make catches. He's made plays with the Chargers. Now he has to do it in Oakland. And I think they're going to give him plenty of opportunities to do it this season.
Yeah, I think I like him. I pick him in every single one of my drafts.
Really?
Obviously, absolutely. If you play alongside Antonio Brown, you are going to see single coverage. You are going to see gaps in the field. You're going to be open more times than not. So I am all about Tyrell Williams. I think he could be a steal wherever you draft him, and he could very well catch 75 to 80 balls this year in that Oakland offense.
I move on to Seattle. DK Metcalf is a kid you've heard a lot about coming out of the draft. He's number two and also the tallest receiver by far for the Seattle Seahawks. But again, it's his rookie season. They do go up against the Bengals in week one. Could be a nice day for him. He's going to make an impact. He's going to make an impact for this team. There's no doubt about it. How early the impact we'll see. But then you look back a couple of years ago, it kind of reminded me of him, is right from the get-go, Kenny Galladay had, three touchdowns in his first game for the Lions a couple of years ago. So he could make that instant impact week one against the Bengals. I mean, we know that Russell Wilson loves to sling the ball. He's not going to have a lot of time to throw, and he's got two of the munchkins. This is the biggest guy in the field for him to throw the football to.
I mean, a guy who's 5'11 is the biggest guy on the field, quite honestly.
But DK, he was available really late in the draft that did on Sunday, and there's some waiver wires that he's still going to be out there in a smaller team. So
that's a good flyer right there, DK Metcalf, because he's going to get his chances.
Yeah. And one other guy I want to mention and talk about, and that's Paul Richardson, former Seattle Seahawk, current Redskin. He's going to be playing a lot of football. He could get up to 100 targets. In Seattle in 2017, he had just 80 targets. 44 receptions, 703 yards, 6 touchdowns. Paul Richardson is going to be one of the top PPR guys again if he can stay healthy, because they have to throw it to somebody in Washington.
Somebody has to catch that.
They do.
Somebody has to get it.
The problem is it has to actually get to that person.
Yeah, so sure.
You have to rely on Case Keenum in order to throw the ball to Mr. Richardson. That's the only way. He doesn't get 100. He might get targeted.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to catch the ball.
That's true.
Just quietly sit here for a second and think of all the ways that this can possibly go wrong. And there's 100 ways that it could possibly go wrong right there.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, at some point, they're going to be playing the rookie, too, out of Ohio State at quarterback. So there's that.
Yes. Over under on that, by the way, is that like a week 5 thing before they realize Case Keenum is not the answer?
Case Keenum could be folded up like a lawn chair at week 1.
We could see him
less suited than we think. Because they are playing the Eagles week 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in Philly.
Cox is already looking at that.
Tony's salivating right now.
It could be scheduled for 4 quarters for Case Keenum, but it could end really early. Guys, there's another important thing, and Tony, I know the three of us have talked about it off the air, but I want to talk about it a little bit more as we get people ready for the season, and that's daily leagues. Daily leagues have really. For me, it's like a second Christmas every Sunday or even Thursday nights or even Monday nights, because you get to draft or you get to pick guys within a salary frame or whatever, and do it a lot. I mean, I usually play like 5-6 different daily leagues throughout the weekend or whatever, at least 5 or 6. And oh, by the way, it only helps that every state is getting legalized gambling, including here in the state of Indiana, just went through on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know out there in Pennsylvania, it's the same way with you guys. I mean, daily has really changed a lot of focus for guys that especially can't even, don't have the time to do a 13-game, 14-game, 15-games regular season with their buddies or whatever. They do daily leagues, or they jump right in. It's really changed the whole dynamic of fantasy football in some ways.
I love it, by the way, because the way they're setting it up here anyway, at least here locally, I think it's FanDuel who's putting in like a face-to-face area at I believe it's Blue Chip up in Michigan City.
That'd be fun.
Yeah,
I'm all with that. We should go.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that on a Sunday.
We'll do it. We'll take my $15 and your millions.
my $10.
Tony, I mean. But you do have to view it differently when you're setting up a team in daily leagues as opposed to doing an actual draft against your buddies. I mean, it's a different strategy.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a different strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, obviously it's all about salary cap.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the biggest way you win the streamlined DFS leagues is you have to pick those one or two guys that are really low in market value that are going to explode that week. You know, because obviously you don't have enough money, $50,000 or $55,000 threshold they give you. Obviously, you know, you can't pick every number one receiver or every number one quarterback.
Right.
So you have to find those deals a la the waiver wire people we were just talking about for the last 35 minutes. They're the guys that will win you a DFS league. They're the guys that will win you a DFS league. You know, obviously, because there are DFS leagues as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those guys, they're the kind of guys, it's find the diamond in the rough. Find the Tom Brady. Find the 6th-round pick. That's what you need to do, and then you're good to go.
Value picks are huge. Here's another thing. Unique lineups. Looking for sleepers that come on the cheap, the other guys aren't paying attention to, because now we've even got to the point where I know DraftKings, they tell you the percentage of how many guys in that particular draft they're picking or throughout the day have picked that guy. or not pick that guy. So 28%, 18%, you see some of these guys not being picked up, but you have that feeling that's a favorable matchup, and you can get them on the cheap. That's a unique lineup. That's something you need to pay attention to, because you don't want to be sharing your cash.
Right.
If you don't have to.
Right. Why share your cash? Come
that's
on,
right.
Man.
But again, I
yeah, I'm with you. I share enough cash with my wife, so I want my own. You know what I mean?
Going to Tony's offshore account.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But I look forward. I look forward to doing the daily leagues. I mean, because you can do a Thursday, Sunday early game matchup. You could do it. Monday night match. It's just fun.
Yeah, you can do so. There's so many different ways to win. And I mean, as long as you know what you're doing and you know what you're looking for,
right,
and you're able to stay under that salary cap, you can really do well in daily fantasy.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend a lot of money doing it. Like they have quarter drafts. I mean, they're free.
Yeah.
If you just want to play just for the fun of it, just go on and do it. It's just another way to get in the game and to enjoy your football weekends, because they're coming, baby.
Yeah,
they're coming.
I've put
in they're coming.
I've put in the subscription for Red Zone already.
Oh man, gotta love that. We've come to a 2-minute warning, and this is where I challenge the guys as far as different things as we get you ready for week 1 of action in the NFL. And this is kind of like something similar to what we did in last week's show, is how deep is your love. But is this simple? I'm going to give you the player. I'm going to give you the matchup. It's simple. Do you start or do you sit them? If you have if you think you might have a better option somewhere, Jimmy, okay, or Tony, just tell me, do you start them or do you sit them? We start, and I'll give this to you, Joe.
Okay.
Big Ben Roethlisberger on the road against the Patriots.
Ooh.
Start or sit, buddy?
That is a sit.
Sit for you, huh?
Yeah, that is a sit.
He's played a lot better on the road as of late.
I think the Patriots defense is not to be reckoned with.
Oh, I don't know. I know the Godfather wants to chime in on this one. Tony, you
go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, this is, you know what, and I'm not even a Big Ben guy, because I think this is a down year for Big Ben, but that's the kind of game that you're absolutely right. You want to say, you know what, that's a sit, tough defense on the road, opening matchup, but it's also the same kind of matchup that flips the script a little bit in the spotlight on Sunday Night Football, where this is just a blowout between both teams. It's like a 38-35 game, and Roethlisberger throws for 5 touchdowns, and Brady tries to match him, and somebody wins on a field goal. So I just think this is going to be an explosive shootout. That's why I would start Big Ben.
All right, Tony. Your guy is Cam Newton, home against the Rams, supposedly healthy. But it's a tough matchup for him going against a team that just played in the Super Bowl.
That is, but listen, there's guys in this league you just don't sit. You just don't sit. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you have a top 10 quarterback, you don't sit. You just, if you drafted Cam, you probably drafted him high. You roll with him. You roll with him every day. You're not going to, you know, listen, if you draft a guy, this is what I've always said. If you draft a guy in the first 5 or 6 rounds as your quarterback, and which is probably where you got Cam Newton, then why would you sit him for a guy you picked up in the 12th? So you ride with Cam. So I have no issues. I would ride with Cam until he tells me not to ride with him anymore.
I would ride with Cam until something falls off of his body.
Like an arm, literally.
Literally an arm.
Jim, for you, it's David Montgomery, the rookie running back, taking on the Packers. First career game. A lot of people are expecting him to get 15 to 20 carries, or at least 15 to 20 touches, I should say. Mm-hmm. But he is playing with 2 other backs, one's Tariq Cohen, the starter, and then he did bring in Mike Davis. Start or sit, week 1. Take your time. It's only a 2-minute warning.
Yeah, I know.
Get some Jeopardy music.
That's right.
Right. That's a tough one, man. Again, another one of those RBBCs that, man, if you've got Tariq Cohen as like a flex guy, or heck, even if he's your second running back starting for some reason, then yes, you absolutely start.
You start Montgomery, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
But I if you don't have Tariq Cohen, no.
Tony, rounding out the running backs, here's your guy. It's Sony Michel against Pittsburgh. Now, the old adage is you don't trust any running back that's with the Patriots because he's going to break your heart. But Sony Michel showed a lot of flashes last year, week one at home against Pittsburgh.
It's not so much the running back breaking your heart. It's Bill
you
Belichick breaking
Let
your heart.
Yeah. You had your turn.
And now you're hey, remember, I brought up the Lawrence Maroney factor. I call it the Lawrence Maroney factor every week, right? But I think you start Sony Michel. I think the biggest enemy that'll hurt Sony Michel is his own health. As long as his knees hold up, I think Belichick will ride with him. And listen, who else is gonna? They're not gonna give James White's gonna be the catch. He's gonna be outside catch running back that's gonna catch the ball PPR. So Damian Harris isn't gonna overtake Sony Michel right now. So I think Sony Michel is a good bet to start for week one.
All right, Jim, your guy is, well, Robbie Anderson at home against Buffalo. He's matching up against Tre'Darius White on defense. But it's, again, we talked about this game is going to be a shootout. But Robbie Anderson is the number one receiver for the Jets.
Start.
Automatic. It's
that, like you said, that game's going to be a gunslinger's paradise. Start.
And then the round out the two-minute warning. Well, it's just an interesting matchup because of the change in quarterbacks. And godfather for you is T.Y. Hilton. Of course, you know, Jacoby Brissett just signed, has got some new paper. They're at home against the Chargers. Start or sit T.Y. Hilton?
Oh, you start T.Y. Hilton every single week, no matter what. That's what you do, unless he's hurt or unless that offense completely sputters, which I do not think so. I think this is a big year for T.Y. Hilton. I think, like I said last week, this helps T.Y. Hilton with Andrew Luck being gone because I think Jacoby Brissett will zone in on T.Y. Hilton more than Andrew Luck did in the past. So I would definitely start T.Y. Hilton.
And again, this is a more talented team than it was a couple of years ago when Jacoby's there. They got two tight ends. I mean, T.Y. is healthy week one.
He's been able to watch Andrew Luck for a year with this coaching staff.
Yes.
I mean, you don't think some of that's rubbing off on Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's going to be fine.
That's going to be, they're going to be fine.
No doubt. And that is the end of the two-minute warning. And also how we wind down our last show before the season starts. Next week, we start with...
next week, we'll be cursing certain players. We don't know who yet.
Well, Thrills and Kills will be back.
Yes. Can't wait
to talk about Thrills and Kills, guys who help boost your fantasy team to wins and guys that help you get crushing losses. We'll be here to recap all of that next week right here on the Roster Doctors, and we appreciate you listening. And of course, if you have any questions as you're setting your rosters for week one, you can always go on Twitter and reach out to us. We try to help you any way we can at Roster Docs WSBT. We appreciate Tony, the Godfather Cotillo, which you can find on Twitter as well, TCotillo23. He's always online, checking out and also cooking pancakes for the family at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And honey ham.
That's right.
Honey ham, maple sausage, and thick-cut bacon.
Man, that was a good breakfast.
Oh.
Those kids went right to sleep when they got to school this morning.
Right.
Tony, we love you. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great week.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch up with you next week. It's the Roster Doctors on WSBT. And again, you can find us on Twitter at Roster Docs WSBT. For Jim and Tony and myself, we'll talk to you soon.